Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. And Odyssey Station.
The Score!
The NBA playoffs are heating up.
Hit and Run, Sundays from 9 a.m. till noon.
Wisdom hits a high pop fly, shallow right, might be a tough play, Abreu going out, that ball falls in there for a base hit, a run scores, Wisdom hustling to second with a double. The next offering swung on, line drive, base hit to left, Wisdom's going to try to score, here it comes, the throw by Pollock is not in time, the ball gets away, it goes back to the backstop, and Schwindel goes to second, Cubs lead 2-0. The runner goes, bounce past the mound, going to be a tough play. Anderson gloves, throws to first in time. A run scores, Cubs lead 3-0. Soft liner, Cueto slipped after his delivery, was not in a position to field the ball. It squirted past the mound. Good base running by Horner, recognizing that the ball was on the ground, and he scored standing up.
Jake Berger launches one deep to left, and it'll get out of here. And the White Sox are on the board. It's 3-1.
It's 0-2 on Schwindel, the pitch.
Ground ball right side, base hit, pass to diving Abreu. Another run is in. Wisdom around second, heading to third, safe at third. Run scoring single, Frank Schwindel. Cubs lead 5-1.
Berger with a soft liner. Hap will make the catch. And the Cubs take game one of this series. The road team has won all three in this crosstown series this season.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Ba-da-ba-bum, ba-da-bum, ba-da-ba. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, baseball people. You've made it. Opening day is supposed to feel like this outside. We all know it is not. Most of April is theoretically supposed to feel like this. It is not. Hell, most of May is supposed to feel like this. But finally, it does feel like this. It's Memorial Day weekend. It is gorgeous outside. I suppose the clouds might give us some cover later in the day. But the temperatures should stay great. One more Cubs-Sox game today, and then there's a doubleheader at Wrigley tomorrow on a holiday. And tomorrow is the day, Memorial Day weekend specifically, end of the whole month, if you want, when we're supposed to come to our first comfortable grand conclusion about where the baseball team is. Whichever team you love, whichever team you're following, or looking around and trying to gain wisdom on as many teams as possible. 60 games or thereabouts, 2 months or thereabouts, Memorial Day weekend as a static. It's always the last Monday in May, right, everybody? Okay, I got it. Thank you, by the way, to our armed forces, our soldiers who have given the ultimate sacrifice. That is what Memorial Day is about. So we recall them. And we thank them in absentia and honor them this weekend. But yeah, so this is your moment. This is your moment really this weekend to take a look at the teams and think about where they are. What do you think? Hey, how's the team doing? That team I like. Any good? The White Sox are mediocre, people. That's just what they are. It's unfortunate. But I wish I could tell you they were better, that things were better, but you are frustrated if you're watching, and it's understandable. They have a minus 46 run differential. They are 22-23 through 45 games. That is the third worst run differential in the American League. Only the Royals and the Tigers have a worse run differential. Oakland is better at minus 41. Baltimore is better at minus 33. Is run differential everything? No. You lose a couple of games, what? 16-7, 16-3 to the Red Sox. That'll ding your run differential overall. So you can look at other things. And we will look at other things. Plenty of Cubs talk on the show today, too, by the way. Especially in hour number two. And then Jim Deshaies from Marquee is going to join us at 11 o'clock. I love talking to JD. We're going to do some fun baseball trivia stuff, he and I back and forth, in addition to, of course, Cubs conversation. But we do start with last night's game, and we do start even before that with a kind of an overall moment taking a look around. Jed Hoyer spoke yesterday about the Cubs and tried to be more transparent. He took on that phrase very introspectively and directly. That was interesting. But back to the White Sox for a moment here. Because we'll talk about pitching, we'll talk about managing, we'll talk about bullpen, we'll talk about front office expenditures, and a whole bunch of other stuff. We'll talk about specifics from last night. I know A.J. Pruszynski called out Tony La Russa on national TV with Len Kasper sitting right next to him, and justifiably so. But just remember that the way this whole thing was built was that the offense was supposed to be good enough to mask all the other flaws. Yasmani Grandal can't control the run game. It's okay. He hits great. That's why we got him. Tim Anderson, an improving but imperfect shortstop. That's okay. He hits like crazy. That's why we got him. It's okay. And we got enough. Josh Harrison, really just a contact guy and maybe, you know, tailing. We haven't really solved second base. Leury Garcia tried Cesar Hernandez last year, whatever. That's okay. Everybody else is going to hit well enough. Andrew Vaughn having to play out of position, left field, now right field, plenty. It's okay. He hits well enough and everybody else is going to hit well enough. It's okay. Got 4 to 5 different guys who can play DH. It's okay. We'll hit enough. Got to withstand Dallas Keuchel for a little while, up until the moment he's DFA'd. No big deal. We'll hit enough homers. Get on base enough. And that has not been the case so far. So that was the expectation, that the offense would cover everything up, and it's not. They are 28th out of 30 in on-base percentage. 28th out of 30. Now, a lot of that is due to the unbelievably low total of walks. It's crazy. Still dead last in baseball at 105 behind the Tigers, the Rangers, the Rays, who don't walk an awful lot. But yeah, 28th in on-base percentage out of 30. OPS, which is on-base plus slugging, a nice little simple number to quantify an overall team offense, if you like, 26th out of 30. 26th ahead of just Pittsburgh and Oakland and Detroit. That's where the White Sox offense is. This lineup was supposed to be great. It was very, very good last year. It is not this year. And so it is not covering things up. Last year, they were 7th in OPS in all of baseball. The whole league. Now 26th. So that is absolutely killing you. Okay? Killing you. So when you don't hit enough to overcome all the other flaws and all the other failures and all the little inadequacies, be it defensively or managing or roster construction, all that stuff, then that stuff just becomes so glaring, especially for you, the fan, because you think that's stuff that you can control, right? Man, if I were the manager, I could control A or B. I wouldn't hit Josh Harrison second. If I were the general manager, I would maybe wouldn't have paid Dallas Keuchel what I paid him. I maybe wouldn't have hung on this long. Okay? If I were the general manager, I don't think I would have invested in the bullpen this much, because bullpens are volatile and you put so much money out there, and then if they fail, you're like, wait a minute, where's all our money? It's out there with guys who do fail because bullpens are volatile. Because everybody out there in the bullpen fails every once in a while. So why are you spending so much money out there? Man. Those are the things you can control. Those are the things you end up looking at and being like, man, we got troubles. So this is when, as a team, at 22-23, 4.5 games back, with the third worst run differential in MLB, you think about big things. If he wasn't a made guy, Tony La Russa's seat would be boiling. Boiling. In flames and boiling. Is that possible? Can a batch of boiling water also be on fire?
I bet your Recon's looking into it.
No, I don't think he has that kind of pull.
Unfortunately.
Sad. I don't think the GM has that kind of pull on his team, which is a crazy but true sad statement to make.
Isn't that insane? Didn't the joke used to be for the longest time that like the Sox wouldn't spend money because they spent it on the Bulls or vice versa? Now the White Sox won't change their manager because Jerry Reinsdorf likes him more than other guys.
Well, you know, that's the dynamic when he was hired. And look, there's some stuff that we've learned about Tony that maybe we've kind of always known, but it's just sort of backfiring. Tony, here's something that Tony really likes to do. He's always liked to do it. He likes to put guys in positions that perhaps they don't deserve at the moment. But he's showing them confidence, hopes to get them going. He hopes that the long-term benefit of saying, you know what, you deserve to hit second, or you deserve this inning, or I believe you, the veteran, you deserve this inning, you deserve this shot. He tries to put people in positions that they do not deserve to get them going and to build their confidence. He has his hope is that when the games matter most, as the season gets towards the end, he has a roster full of people who think they deserve to be there, think they are believed in, feel emboldened, feel the confidence. I get it. I really do. That is a sensible managerial conceit overall. And over a lifetime, it has served him incredibly well. But you can lose your feel for such things, especially when you're not at the forefront of some of the data, some of the analysis, some of the way that players are learning and going about things now, and how other teams are game planning against your guys and such. You can lose your feel for such things. And Tony has lost his feel for such things. So much Leury, so much Gavin Sheets, so much Josh Harrison.
What does it say about him, though? Like, I heard when you guys were interviewing Joe Kelly, Kelly mentioned him. He's like, you know, Lewis is the GOAT. And, you know, that's a comment we'll hear a lot of people say. It doesn't necessarily mean everything, but, like, it feels like the players are still, like, on his side a little bit, right?
Yeah, yeah, well, because he shows them confidence, because he is a coattail rider on the culture, which I said that he had to
sure,
be.
Sure.
And he is. He is. You know, and he doesn't really challenge them. They get away. They get away with all kinds of stuff. They get away with sloppy-ass defense. They get away with bad performance. And they get rewarded sometimes. They play more when they don't deserve to play more. It's not a lot of accountability. There was some with your mean, you know, some with your mean Mercedes last year. Every once in a while, you'll have it. Keuchel certainly had it, and Keuchel had the audacity to talk some smack about wanting to get his innings. And you knew it was over then. We'll get to him. You knew it was over then, and you knew it was over when Steve Stone started talking about it in the way that he did here on The Score. And I told anyone who was listening that, yeah, it was on its way. And still, I thought maybe they'd wait a little while longer, invent an injury or something. But we'll talk about Keuchel. But Tony has lost his feel for such things of like showing the confidence in people and putting them in the right spots and stuff like that. And one of the examples of losing the feel was right there in front of you last night, man. Johnny Cueto, here's the thing about Cueto. Cueto at this point in his life throws it over. That's what he does. He attacks, and he attacks with his stuff as best he can. But he wants to throw strikes. This is what he is all about. And it has worked. The first two times especially, it really worked. Here's the scouting report that I got on Johnny Cueto from a San Francisco insider who watched him last year. He doesn't have a whole lot left. But if he's on and he's throwing hitters' timings off, he's still capable of a real good outing. And he has that rubber arm to go deep in games because he doesn't rely on the strikeout. But if he's a little off, he will get hit hard. And Cueto was getting hit a lot last night, early. And then he did settle in, and he gave you six. It's a quality start at that point. Six innings, three earned runs. Thank you. Now run screaming from your Johnny Cueto start. Thrilled to have gotten six innings and three earned runs. Here's Tony La Russa on Johnny Cueto last night, how he settled down after the first three innings.
I think early on, they attacked him right in the first inning. But after that, I mean, there's that one bloop that hurt. But he settled down after that, you know, when it was three. And, you know, he did a really good job. Best part of the game was there at the end. I mean, we, about three innings, we prevented a lot of runs from scoring with a lot of really good defense. So it shows me we were still competing, which I like a lot.
That's Tony talking about the defense there at the end. Yeah, there was some good defense in the final few innings. That sounds like a man grasping just a little bit for some positives. Here's David Ross talking about how the Cubs offense attacked Johnny Cueto.
I think you know Johnny's going to be around the zone, mixing his looks, mixing his pitches, deliveries, timing. You know, I think the game plan today was going in tonight to go in and, you know, see your pitch and don't wait around. You know, those guys that maybe will scatter the ball a little bit more, you want to time up the velocity and see the secondary stuff. I think each game is really unique in how you're feeling in the box. And sometimes the game plans work out and sometimes they don't. Tonight it worked out really well. But those guys did a good job, I think, of continuing to try to hone in on the strike zone and swing strikes. And I thought that was a pretty good job tonight.
So they attacked Johnny Cueto in the zone. And Cueto talked about it after how they had scouted those first two games and realized he was attacking. So then they went right after him. Cueto gets out, survives six innings, right? And then the seventh begins. And if you're watching the seventh, you see nobody in the bullpen for the White Sox to begin the seventh. Nobody to back up Johnny Cueto at all in the seventh inning. You're like, what? And the Fox broadcast apparently started to question it. I was at the game. I was up there in the kids zone with my boy and my nephew. We had a great time. And looking down, I saw Bennett Sousa and Foster there in the bullpen eventually. But top of the seventh, Andrelton Simmons singles. Christopher Morel lines out hard. Wilson Contreras doubles. And at this point, there's a mound visit. And finally, at this point, that action that I was talking about started in the bullpen, but it wasn't there at the top of the inning, so they weren't ready. And A.J. Pierzynski watches that mound visit and sees Johnny Cueto intentionally walk Ian Happ to load the bases, and Patrick Wisdom is up, and AJ can't help himself.
Infield in, and Happ takes low. See, I hate this, because now they're going to try and pitch around him. If you see Cueto looking, who's on deck? Okay, Wisdom's on deck, right? I don't believe that he's going to face Wisdom if he walks Happ here anyway. So why not just put him on and bring in Foster and try to get a strikeout of Wisdom?
And he will not get a chance to swing the bat. They'll walk him. And it will be Wisdom. And it looks like Cueto will face him.
I am absolutely... I'm shocked that Cueto is still in this game. I know La Russa knows his team better than I do, Tony does, but you've got a guy like Foster that has been lights out for you as a righty, and I know there's a three-batter minimum, but you got two righties coming up. How is Foster not in this game after the balls that have been hit off Cueto this inning?
After the balls that have been hit off Cueto this inning. That's AJ watching the game. So he's watching, he sees Simmons single. He sees Morel line out hard. He sees Contreras double. And he's like, why is Cueto still in? Cueto's not a strikeout guy. Foster is. And Cueto had done his job. Patrick Wisdom grounds the ball, hits the ball on the ground, hits it hard, though. Tim Anderson makes a really nice play to start a potential double play. Doesn't happen. That's a run. Then Frank Schwindel singles off Cueto again. That's a run. Suddenly it's 5-1 instead of 3-1. Big, big deal. Here's my biggest problem is Tony La Russa after the game. You heard what AJ just said after the Rockets hit off Cueto. Here's Tony, quote, just watching what he was throwing, he made his pitches. He fell behind in the count, but wasn't missing by much. This is Cueto in the seventh he's talking about. He was like he usually is. Other than the first inning or so, they didn't really center a lot of balls. He gave us a chance to win. That's him, according to Darryl Van Scowen. That's Tony on Cueto in the seventh. What are you watching? What game are you watching? It's a thing, man. Watch the contact. That's what managers do. That's what pitching coaches and managers do, how they're supposed to collaborate on a change. Hey, are they hitting him hard? Are they on him? Oh, they are? Okay, well, let's get somebody up quickly. Or are they on him? Yeah, they're hitting him hard. Okay, well, we need a strikeout. He's not a strikeout guy. Let's go make a move. Crazy. Again, to start where I started at the beginning of the segment, Sox offense was supposed to cover all this up. It's not. It is not. But then you get to the other stuff, and you get to the roster construction, the lineup construction, the managing, the bullpen maneuvering or lack thereof. And they're not good enough infrastructure-wise to make up for an offense that isn't performing. So look, there's plenty of blame to go around in the pie. But man, whew, manager's bad. Bad. Offense bad, manager bad. Phone calls, you guys, if you want. 312-644-6767. That's the phone number. Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Network is going to join us at 940, talk some White Sox. Jim Deshays at 11. Some big picture stuff from Jed Hoyer and a news insider at the top of the 10 o'clock hour on the Cubs. But right now, your calls and your texts, welcome on Hit and Run. The Text Zone is brought to you by Al Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com, and you can text at 312-644-6767. Speaks with you on a Sunday morning on Hit and Run.
Hit and Run, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's Sports Rumble. Station.
Backhanded by Anderson. Jump throw to second. The throw over to first. Not in time. A run scores. Wisdom gets the RBI.
It's a great song.
Music from the city of Chicago today. Try to feature bands from the towns of whichever the baseball teams are playing. They're playing each other. Oh, see, I could just sing the whole thing. Just play it, and I'll sing it, and we won't talk sports at all. Oh, we'll just smile on a Sunday morning, breathe deeply on a beautiful day until the teams start again. And some frustration begins, but not really frustration for the Cubs fans this morning. Good morning, everybody. Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. Keegan Thompson, here's the thing, man. Keegan Thompson's been really, really good. Look at the numbers on this dude. Look at the way he has shown up every time, whether it is in a bulk appearance in relief or as a starter last night. Keegan didn't even think he was good last night. Keegan Thompson said, quote, I feel like I was kind of all over the place, not really hitting a ton of spots. I just got really lucky. I think they missed some pitches in the strike zone. I didn't hit a ton of spots, got away with a couple of poor pitches. He found a lot of confidence in getting through the outing, even when the stuff wasn't working. Because then when you're hitting spots and doing what you're supposed to be doing, then you feel like it's going even better. So I just got lucky tonight. That's got to feel good, huh? For a White Sox offense expected to be great, that is not great. Gets shut down by Keegan Thompson. Then he says, I wasn't even good tonight. I wasn't even good. Oh, man. He's been really, really good overall. And that is an excellent sign. And you got to take him where you can get him when you're the Cubs. Next hour, some conversation in depth about a transition that I think is approaching. And we'll talk about what Jed Hoyer had to say before the game last night. But right now, your phone calls and your texts at 312-644-6767. This is Paul in Valpo this morning on Hit and Run. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Matt. Yeah, you know, I mean, DFA and Keuchel, I think, obviously was the right thing to do. But to a bigger picture with the White Sox, I mean, we saw the window close so quickly with the Cubs, you know, and obviously it included in the World Series. But two playoff appearances, Keuchel was supposed to be the veteran that was supposed to, you know, guide this pitching young pitching staff that's probably maybe not as young as it once was. And now he's DFA'd, and not that I mean they can't be replaced, and obviously you're piecemealing with a guy like Cueto, but without Keuchel, and, you know, they kind of wasted contract on him with two divisions but no World Series to show. Could this window close a lot quicker than a lot of people think?
Oh, boy. You know, it's a scary thing, but they're still loaded with position players under control. Now, I'll tell you what would really hurt things is if Yoan Moncada is this guy, bad and hurt all the time. That would really damage you. You desperately need Moncada to be an on-base percentage machine, really an OPS machine, but a lefty bat against right-handed pitching who just terrorizes them is what you need him to be. You needed him to be, wait for it, Rafael Devers, but he's not. So the Red Sox kept Devers instead of Moncada. One day maybe I'll stop comparing them, knowing that they were both sort of in conversations in regards to the Chris Sale trade. But man, that's the kind of thing that can really damage the window. Eloy Jimenez being a guy who's every season so far has been damaged by an injury and yet to realize the potential. Those things can really, really hurt you. And I think they are right now. You know, the Keuchel DFA, it's just dollars now. And I think you're going to be fine in surviving this season without him because of Cueto, because of Vince Velasquez, because of Davis Martin being able to come up with a spot start every once in a while. You're better off without putting Keuchel out there. And soon Lance Lynn will be here, and you'll have to have even less of the aforementioned troika. But, man, some bad managing and some inconsistent team building that coalesces with the managing can really hurt you, too. I don't know what the hell Tony La Russa's doing with Ronaldo Lopez, but I really don't like it. You need multiple pitchers, especially in the beginning of a season like this with a shortened spring. You need multiple pitchers capable of giving you 2-3 innings out of that bullpen. Maybe even the occasional 3 or 4 innings out of that bullpen. That was Keegan Thompson's role, right? I guess that's now Vince Velasquez's role. But Ronaldo Lopez had shown you that he could do that. Tony La Russa has turned Ronaldo Lopez into Jose Ruiz. Like another guy. He's turned him into Matt Foster. Ronaldo had proven to you last year that he could be a real good long man spot starter, bulk innings guy. I'm telling you, that game, the third game against Boston, was that Thursday night, when they came back and made it 7-5 and Ronaldo was in there, and you're like, oh boy, that's the kind of game that you put a Ronaldo Lopez and you let him stay there. Let him stabilize a game for 3 innings. Let him throw 5. And then he's on a regular rotation after Keuchel's DFA'd, and you could use him in 4 days if you want. Or rest him, or however you do it. But you got 14 pitchers on a staff. You need multiple guys in today's baseball who can do that for you every once in a while. Your bulk guy, right? Shouldn't just be one. And Lopez had shown the ability to be that guy. I'm very confused as to what his role might be. So, look, this is, you know, a texter says they need Grandal to be Carlos Santana. Yeah, man. They really, Grandal and Moncada are just absolutely killing them right now. And remember that Grandal needs to be terrific offensively to make up for some deep defensive shortcomings. Deep. The run game is just, you know, whatever people want against Grandal. Although the White Sox did get somebody, they got wisdom at the plate, right? They got wisdom at the plate on one of those double steal attempts with a guy going to second, and then TA cut it off and came home, and that was nice. So they controlled the run game that way a little bit. But Grandal, brutal. Nico Horner stealing a base and moving over on a wild pitch last night. I don't think he came around to score late in the game when they were looking for insurance, but it's that kind of stuff. You're like, oh my God, look at that. And then this, a stat that has been circulating a lot, I'll retweet it now. Jay Cuda, who comes up with some very good White Sox stats from time to time, circulating the batting averages for the pitchers, batting average against for White Sox bullpen guys, for the most part, not all bullpen, but it's everybody, when they pitched to Grandal and when they pitched to McGuire. Much, much worse when they pitched to Grandal. Grandal has to be elite offensively to be worth that contract and to be helping you. And it's not happening. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. And you're listening to Hit and Run on the Score. Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago and from the Sox Talk podcast is going to join us in a little bit. And we will talk some White Sox and try to figure some things out. I will talk to you about Dallas Keuchel, what there is to be learned from John Lester in regards to Dallas Keuchel's failure. There is a connection there. I was listening to one of the best pitchers in the game talk about his evolution. That is incredibly instructive overall. So we'll get there. And really, anything else you want to talk about regarding the Cubs and the Sox last night. But I've got lots of stuff to get to, and I'm looking forward to it. It's a glorious Sunday morning, regardless of your White Sox frustration, regardless of perhaps some of your overall dispirited feelings about a Cubs build. It's not a rebuild. It's a build. I'm the one who's been calling it that. We can explain that a little bit more if we need to next hour. But regardless of all of that, it's baseball season. Hope you're having a lovely, lovely Sunday. I know I am. Ryan McGuffey's next on Hit and Run on the Score.
The Score's coverage of the Wintrust Crosstown Series is presented by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity. If you're purchasing a home or refinancing your mortgage, call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, at 855-56-DAVID or visit 56david.com.
Sinus and Snoring MD.com. They took care of my deviated septum, and they could do the same for you. What's up? It's Gabe, and that's exactly what happened. I was snoring at night, sleeping with my mouth open until I hit up Dr. Swerlin and Dr. Plain. They let me know, hey, man, you have a really bad deviated septum, and we could fix it for you. They could do the same for you, whether it's a sinus issue, snoring issue. They have a location in Mount Prospect that you can visit, so they can treat you like family the same way they did for me. Check them out right now. SinusAndSnoringMD.com.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
There was not a magic number of starts necessarily that would have been required, let's say, before we made that decision. And in fact, you know, although we had been talking about this internally for a period of time, his starts against New York at our place and Boston at Fenway were impressive enough to continue to give him the ball. Obviously, the trend from the last couple, especially the other night, was enough for us to say it was time to try something else in that spot.
It's Rick Hahn before the game yesterday. Fun when the Cubs and the White Sox get together. It just is. You know, I was at the game last night, and my nephew showed up with a Cubs jersey on, and then he unbuttoned it, and there was a Sox jersey underneath. So he was doubling up. Why not? It's like, it's a version of the old Ray Rayner hat, right? And you can do that if you want. If you're a youngster, some people make you declare. My wife, when we were dating, forced me to declare via text, or else I wasn't getting anywhere. Nowhere at all. I said, you know, I'm blessed with objectivity. As a born a Red Sox fan, I love good baseball. And she's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Cubs are Sox. I said, Cubs are Sox. And then I declared. And, you know, here I am, a happily married boy. So that's why you do it. The hotline is brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And that's where we find Ryan McGuffey of NBC Sports Chicago and the Sox Talk podcast, who gives us a little time on a Sunday morning. Guff, how are you, sir?
Big, so good to be with you, and I too would have made you draw that line in the sand and declare.
Right? I understand. Yes. I understand, and I wouldn't have married you though, Guff. I don't think so.
That's okay. You know, that is fine.
Yeah.
But I would have made you declare.
Yeah. I understand.
The jersey. Well, I appreciate what your nephew's doing. I'm glad it's not the Ray Rayner hat. So he, you know, at some point he'll have to probably make a decision too.
Yeah. Well, you and I, we don't get married, Guff, but we'll always have Twix bars. We will always
forever and always.
Forever and always. That's our candy. You tweeted a couple times about the Sox at home. What is it? It was the other day. It was like a -42 run differential at home. What's going on in this ballpark? Is it the ball? Has it been the weather? Like, they're just expecting the ball to fly and it does not? Is that what we're left to assume?
I'm done assuming, man. It's Memorial Day. Like, isn't this kind of this is the first barometer, right, of the season where we're supposed to kind of declare, like, what this team is?
Yeah.
And it's just been the frustration at the home games have been, there's just been so many blowouts. And that's why, like, the run differential is it's pretty misguided, actually, because it's just not, it's not an accurate portrayal of the team. They're probably more of that, you know, -10, -15, and they are the other way what the staff are showing at home. Mm-hmm. It's just been ugly at home, though, Speaks. I mean, this fan base, as you know, like it is starving, drooling when they walk in to see something, to see a spark and to get behind. And it's just been, it's been cliff type moments where, like, the ball gets there and it falls and it just piles on. And even the other night, you know, I kind of felt bad for Tanner Banks having to wear that against the Red Sox, because they just needed someone because Dallas Keuchel had put them in so many spots like that, where you look up in the second inning, it's 6-0, 8-0, 10-0, and you're out of the game before you started it. And that's why the decision to DFA and move on from Keuchel is what it is. But then there's a whole bunch of problems. I know I heard you talking about some of them earlier, but it's you know, the podium has three spots on it and all three spots have the offense. There's definitely issues elsewhere, but when you have an OPS that is only higher than the Pittsburgh Pirates, Oakland A's, and the Detroit Tigers,
yeah,
that's awful.
It is. It is. And the construction is such that the offense was supposed to be good enough to mask anything else. And the anything else has been problematic, but the offense is just brutal. What are we to make of Grandal and Moncada? Those are the two biggest defenders right now. And Moncada obviously not feeling well. The soft tissue stuff keeps getting him. I don't know whether he needs to rethink some conditioning or some of that stuff, but Grandal is just falling off the table here.
Yeah. And those are two guys that you named that are the two guys that actually get on base and draw walks. And they're not doing that either. And when you're not getting, you're not even getting replacement level play from those guys right now. And, you know, trying to just keep it, like you said, Moncada on the field has been an issue, but when they're on the field, it's just a bad. And I was even kind of, you know, we did a panic meter podcast a couple of weeks ago, and with Grandal, I gave it like a 4 or 5 because I've seen this before. You know, we saw it last year and he was roughly, his slash line wasn't much different than it was when we taped the podcast a year prior. However, then things changed dramatically, and look, at this point, you can't keep having a guy hit 150 to 170 and not get on base and not have extra base hits, not hit for power, pay him $18 million a year, and just be like, okay, it's going to happen in June. It's going to happen in July. And look, it might. And this, and because they played in the AL Central, it might all work out. But there's too many spotlights on big guys that aren't performing. And then it's to me, it kind of looks like eight guys are kind of looking down the line and looking for Jose Abreu again. Hmm. It's like, oh, Jose will get us. Jose will get us. And I've, to me, early on in the season, I felt like Jose Abreu was kind of wearing that spotlight in his own struggles. Like, I can't keep carrying this team all the time if I don't have it either. And at some point, I think it's realistic to say, like, Jose Abreu was supposed to pass the baton at some point during this window of opportunity.
Yes.
Where he wasn't going to be have to be the MVP type guy every stinking night. And unfortunately, right now, that's still kind of where we are with the White Sox.
Yeah, he's been that guy for so long on bad teams and then on good teams, that one that you could count on. You're right, and maybe he was wearing a little. He's been good lately, though. I think he's hitting, what, 350 over the last 3 weeks, something like that. And the hard hit stuff has always been there during the course of the year. But man, it is really rough. I struggle with figuring out how they're going to snap out of it. It's I've thought that the offense just, you know, will need to show up and bombs away, because the rotation has been fine. But I mean, frankly, Guff, at any other managerial situation, that guy's seat would be boiling, absolutely boiling, and may even be launched. You know, it's like when you get to this point after the disappointment in the playoffs last year, and you're at Memorial Day and over the next course of the month. But I continue to think that there's just no way that's going to happen managerially. And obviously it's not all on him, but this team needs some kind of spark. They need the new manager bump is what it looks like they need in the middle of a season, and I don't think that's going to be happening.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think people, you know, White Sox Nation and Twitter can go as ballistic as they want, but you know, I don't think Tony La Russa was hired to be fired in this case. So while there's definitely some glaring examples, you know, here's the thing, Speaks. I really did think heading into 2022 that, like, all of the Tony La Russa, like, magnifying glass and microscope stuff would be over. I'm like, okay, like, that was exhausting. There were definitely things, especially early on last year, that were really questionable. The Yermin thing, but then, you know, the rule thing in Cincinnati. And then it seemed like as the season went on, some of that stuff, like the team took off and that was kind of rearview mirror stuff. I just didn't think he'd be as big of a storyline this year. I really did. Maybe I was naive and gullible, but here we are again. And it's not just because the offense is bad. Like, there's, like, why was Johnny Cueto in the game last night? I feel like there's multiple moments throughout each week that you're sitting there going, huh, what's going on here? And obviously you and I did not play Major League Baseball, but we know the game well enough to understand moments that are big at the time in a game. And it just seems like as we roll on here and the team is struggling, that they could lean on some leadership here and have them pick them up. And I just don't feel like anyone's picking each other up. And I feel like, you know, it all starts at the top, right? Like, that's what we always say.
Yeah.
I tweeted last night. It just feels like a very uninspired baseball team. They seem like they're uninspired. And when you're playing flat and bad, and like, you're never one game over 500, you're never really one game below 500. You're just kind of, you know, riding that roller coaster of back and forth and frustrating. What's funny is they're 14-11 in May. It doesn't feel like it.
No.
I mean, they had that 6-game win streak out of the gate, and it's just been, you know, lose two, win two. But I think it's kind of how they're losing, even how they're winning. You know, they're winning 3-1. They're winning 2-0. They're not getting that. Like, it'd be nice to see the White Sox win a blowout the other way, where they're actually up 12-1 in the sixth.
Yeah.
And you're just not seeing that. You're getting dominant pitching from the starters and good enough bullpen, and like, that's how they're winning.
That's and those kind of wins reduce anxiety for everybody a little bit. Let's you take a breath, and there's There's been none of that. You know, it's interesting to say it starts at the top, and the top is ownership. The top is supposed to be front office, but in a lot of cases, it used to be, and it certainly is in this case, the top is manager. Like, it becomes this collaborative thing, and then, like, the manager's mindset, the manager's approach to baseball becomes the identity of the team, and Tony just doesn't kind of drag things forward as an organization. They needed some help in kind of helping to move things forward. Let's see, on a couple of quick specifics here, Guff. Is Renato Lopez ever going to be a long man or a spot starter now, or what is he? What's his role? I can't figure it out.
I would like to, personally, I think that's where he fits best. His stuff's good enough. We've seen it. He's had success the last one plus years now,
mm-hmm.
kind of in these roles when he's been in the bullpen. But I feel like sometimes, for lack of a better word, we get cheated. Like, Ronaldo can go out there for like two thirds and end an inning. It's like, wait, what? Where's Ronaldo? Like, why isn't he back in here? And maybe they don't know yet, but I think his stuff still plays well enough to be a guy.
Yeah.
And they might need a two inning guy right now, to be quite honest with you. I mean, their bullpen's a little banged up, and so it just seems like they've not been, kind of like the offense, they've not been clicking. Like, well, one guy's hot, one guy's either on the IL or struggling, and they kind of like, you know, Kendall Graveman was good, then he was bad. And then Bummer went on the IL, now he's off. And there's just been kind of a lot of that. Joe Kelly's now back on. So Ronaldo Lopez could be a very valuable piece if that's what they want him to be. I think he can be.
And then do you send Jake Burger down when Luis Robert comes back? I mean, here's Mendick, but Burger homered again last night. He's one of the few guys just mashing when he gets a chance.
I would play him at second base. I would. I think you need guys, like, if Burger was one of 10 guys mashing right now, that's a great problem to have, and you can keep going, you know, putting them on the charter back and forth. But what are you getting out of second base right now, Speaks?
Nothing.
I mean, why was Jake Burger is a guy right now? And that's what I would like to see, some kind of, like, yeah, Keiko got DFA'd, but, like, give me something. Show me, like, hey, today there's a spark, and here's what we're doing. And I don't know if Jake Burger can play second base, but I feel like he's playing third base well enough to know that he can play second base well enough to be in that lineup every day and make a point. So,
yeah,
that's what I would do.
And you're showing your team, I need guys who are producing, so I'm going to find a spot for them instead of putting guys out there.
Moving up in the lineup?
Yes.
Instead of, hey, you're going to hit second tonight.
Guff, you've done enough with me. Go away. Go spend time with your family on this beautiful day. It's Memorial Day weekend. Get off the radio, buddy.
That sounds like a great idea, my man. I appreciate being on with you, though. Only for you.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Ryan. Have a great Sunday. It's Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago. Yeah, man. I like it. Burger at second. Okay. Whew. There'll be some more White Sox conversation for sure, but we shift to the big picture on the Cubs in a matter of moments. And somebody said something encouraging. An insider said something encouraging that we'll get to as well. That's coming up at the top of the next hour in a matter of moments on Hit and Run on the Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh. I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.